Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Your heartbeat, oh, your heartbeat.
I love that beat. I love that beat. Thank you. Thank you for joining me this evening. I'm in such gratitude and love for self tonight. I had an experience last night that was pretty scary, and yet it was just such a confirmation of angels watching over me. I was driving back to my friend's house late last night between 11 and midnight, and it was a light rain and the roads were slippery. And I came to this winding road last night that I've traveled many, many times. And usually when I get to the curve, I step on my brakes. And this time, my car began to spin around in a 360-degree turn until I was turning the opposite direction on the side of the road where in the direction I was, in the opposite direction of where I was going. That experience so flooded my body with adrenals, with hormones. I could feel the heat of the hormones being released from my body or something. It was pain. It was felt like pain in my spine or in the middle of my body. And I just sat there for a minute as cars started to come. Just as I slid over to the side of the road facing the opposite direction, cars began coming and approaching. So it was as if there was a hand over me turning that car around and just saving me from anyone hitting me or me hitting anything else. So it's events like that just make you pause and appreciate your relationship with the angels around you, with the kingdom around you, and with the kingdom within you, because I had to take deep breaths all the way home just to calm down after that experience, calming down, just deep breathing, until I felt my body was back in there. My heart wasn't going boom, 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 and my heartbeat started to slow down. But it was the deep breathing that got me back into homeostasis balance, because I was listening to music as I was coming around the curb. But that was pretty upsetting and pretty startling and shocking and surprised. But today was just the perfect day for me. I got to do some cooking and preparation and some juicing. I had fun juicing today, some beets and celery, and my friend and I are enjoying just this beautiful, healthy meal. And so that's why we're talking tonight about the temple. This is especially for my Christian brothers and sisters who have lost touch, I think, with the consciousness of the temple. And I've had conversations with people who just don't have a clue about the relationship we have with this temple, this body, and the word and the Bible that states clearly what the relationship should be. But we've lost touch with that. Many of my Christian friends have lost touch with that. So that's why we're going to start tonight in Sunday school again. I'm going to go back to Sunday school, and I have some really great audios to share with you about a few scriptures that we learned in Vacation Bible School and the Vacation School in general about the Bible's reference to the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that really is like an elementary teaching that we learned as children about the Holy Spirit dwelling in this body temple. And then I talk with people today, especially Christian friends who are clueless about the sacredness of this temple and what should be going in this temple and how this temple, we should have a relationship with this temple, because many of us are stuck on the literal translation of the Bible. It's not a history book, in my opinion. It's actually a book of symbolism and metaphors and allegories. And some people do take it literally. There are some of my friends even who are looking at, we're living in New Testament-only theology. We can eat what we want because Christ died for our sins. So we want to just review some truths about all that tonight and help us all get back into balance. Because here's the thing. The last 2 years, we all learned about what's called comorbidity. There was a new phrase for me in the last 2 years. I've been in the holistic health field for over 35 years now. But comorbidities, I hadn't heard much about that. But comorbidities came out in the last, year and a half to explain the people who transitioned or died from, quote, COVID had comorbidities, a lot of them, especially in the minority communities. Many of the people who passed on after suffering with COVID were diagnosed with what's called comorbidities. Now, comorbidity simply means morbid conditions in the body like diabetes, cancer, heart conditions, blood pressure, all kinds of heart disease. So comorbidity refers to more than one dis-ease in the body. Those are the people who were the pawns on the chess game in the last 2 years. Those pawns were wiped out quickly because of their comorbidity. And we want to bring to light tonight how to prevent any more pawns being wiped off the chessboard that we're in. This is a chess game being played in our faces, basically, with a psychopathic government and a pharma mafia companies running the world, men ruling the world. That will change, I believe. I'm real optimistic about the changes that are coming because many people are waking up. And that's part of my job is to help people wake up from the sleep and they've been in over the last few years. And we don't want any more comorbidities to take white people out and because of fear. So we want to talk about tonight how not only the comorbidities can take you out if you get into the fear-mongering, if you buy into the fear-mongering that is still in the news and in the government about little viruses that can take you out, which is not true. And then the inflammation that can take place from your emotions and your food, okay? So that's why tonight I think it's important to focus on the ancient and the modern temple. What has the Bible shown us about temples in general? And there's lots of YouTube videos on Indian temples as well. So, but because my background is mostly Christian, I'm going to focus on a few scriptures with some of the audio videos that I've uploaded for you tonight. So, as usual, if you have any questions, please raise your hand in the Stu Blog Talk Radio studio. We have a few people there. Thank you all for joining me tonight. Raise your hand if you have any comments or stories you'd like to share with us. We're kind of it was kind of a part two tonight of the last couple of shows in that we want to continue to raise the consciousness of the family of viewers here. And last week we were talking about people waking up to their sovereignty in the way of miscarriages and women taking control of their bodies. Okay? Because all these women protesting about losing their rights and their choices, when you are able to raise your consciousness to the level of sovereign queen, royalty, then you take over the body. If you don't want to continue the process of pregnancy, for instance, your mind is powerful enough to end that pregnancy. So we haven't been taught that in school, public school system, or any school, I don't think. But I have met or read about plenty of spontaneous abortions where women mentally say, oh, no, I'm not ready for this. So last week, that's what we talked about last Sunday, is that becoming sovereign, becoming a queen and royalty over your temple, over your body, means you have total control. You don't need a man in a white coat to suck out a baby out of your womb, because you have total control over that. So tonight we want to move into another level, body temple control mastering over the thoughts of man and men who wrote the Bible and so forth, that we do have a lot of power that we have not tapped into. And that's what we're here to. We need to tap into this power up here so that we don't have people telling us what we can and cannot do in this planet of Earth where it's a big theater. You look around you at all the drama going on. This is just one big theater, and you can choose to be on the stage with the drama or you can choose to be in the balcony with popcorn. You know what I mean? Let's go to the balcony with some popcorn and watch all this drama of the Twilight Zone play out. It's going to play out eventually, but we might have a little testing going on in the next few months because the fear-mongering and the psychopathic government is still active in the United States and Big Pharma Mafia is still active, so we have to be prepared. And that's what we want to do tonight, is prepare our mind especially for whatever is coming. We're going to prepare our minds and not be in fear. Not be in fear, no worry. We are powerful, powerful beings if we choose to be. So any questions, comments, please press 1. And, of course, in the Facebook Live, thank you if you're there, just press, post your comments. And we're going to start off with again, Sunday school teaching about the third temple and the human body. And it's going to talk about, here's what the Bible says about the third temple in the Bible. Again, I have a Christian background, so we're going to focus mostly on Christian biblical temple understanding and knowledge, and then we're going to go into the spirituality of it all and the brain and all these beautiful parts in this body that relate to that temple and how we can take back control over this temple, because some of us have just given away our power to the men in the white coats and whoever else comes along that says they can help us control this temple. I had a friend who was a nurse in the operating room for several years, and she shared with me, she had resigned from that job, it was too stressful or something, and she shared with me how beautiful it is inside the body. She would, the first time they cut open a body and she was assisting in the operating room, she was in such awe about what she was seeing, mostly the colors, the rainbow colors inside the body. She was just, and she, that was the most important experience of her life, I believe, is seeing the inside of the human body and how beautiful it was and the awesomeness that speaks to how wonderfully we are made. And then I recently spoke to a surgeon after my friend had surgery, and the surgeon, I asked the surgeon, well, what do you usually see in a spiritual aspect when you go inside a body? And her first words were energy. She said, everyone's energy is different. And I thought that's so interesting that you would use the word energy, because that's the belief system we're all developing now about the human body and about our relationships and our emotions, energy in motion. So we're just continuing tonight our upliftment, our enlightenment of all the things we deal with on a daily basis. So let's listen to some information about the third temple in the Bible and what the Bible really says about that third temple in the human body.
Hi everyone, thanks for watching. In this very short video, I want to talk about a fairly common teaching that you see in some YouTube videos and also on a wide variety of websites. That teaching is that the third temple will not be physical, but is instead a reference to our bodies. Our bodies being the third temple is based on several different Bible verses, which do indeed talk about the temple of our bodies. Those verses are then viewed in conjunction with the Bible's teaching on the abomination of desolation, mentioned 3 different times in Daniel, and the mark of the beast. Thus, rather than the Antichrist sitting in a physical third temple and desecrating that temple, it is someone taking the mark of the beast on or in their body, which desecrates the temple of their body. Whatever the mark is, if we take it, we're desecrating our body, which is the temple of God. So is that teaching correct? Well, it turns out that those who teach this are overlooking one very important fact. So let's take a moment to look at several Bible verses which speak of the temple of our bodies. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And of course, we have Jesus saying, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. So it certainly looks like the Bible teaches that the body is a temple of God. But here's what's being overlooked. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, and chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, Paul is addressing those with the Holy Spirit and telling them that their bodies are a temple of God because they have the Holy Spirit. Likewise, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16, the reference to the temple of the living God is directed at those who have the Holy Spirit. And of course, when Jesus referred to his body as a temple, Jesus himself was completely filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, it is the very presence of the Holy Spirit that makes our bodies a temple of God. Those who are lost do not have the Holy Spirit within them, and therefore their bodies are not a temple of God. Thereby, when those who are lost take the mark of the beast, there is not a holy temple inside that person for the mark of the beast to desecrate. Their bodies are not a temple of God, since the Holy Spirit does not reside within them. To put it another way, not every body is a temple of the living God. It is only those who have the Holy Spirit within them whose bodies are a holy temple. So we see that the whole idea that the body is the third temple and it's the taking of the mark of the beast that desecrates that temple is clearly in error. Those who take the mark of the beast do not have the Holy Spirit within them, and their bodies are therefore not a temple of the living God. There is no temple to desecrate. The truth is that the Bible teaches us that the Antichrist will sit in a real, physical third temple. He is the abomination of desolation sitting where it ought not. He will pronounce himself as God, or perhaps a God, or, I'm starting to think, he may pronounce himself as Savior of the world. Either way, the third temple will be a literal, physical temple, and in my opinion, the Antichrist could very well have some sort of role in building it. Remember, the man who perfectly matches the biblical description of the Antichrist just so happens to have made a name for himself as a builder. That's all for today's.
Now, very interesting that they had a picture of Trump up there. I don't know what that means. But in any case, I hope that helps you to see the relationship that the Bible puts on temples and in the Bible with our human vessels. And the idea of an antichrist, my experience thus far, I mean, we're all in subjective truth mode, but my experience thus far about things like the antichrist, that's a spirit that was with us for 3 years. 3 years we had people trying to force us to take medical injections that could harm us or kill us. We had people try, we had systems that wanted to control how we lived our lives, stay indoors, don't go to work, blah, blah, blah. So my feeling is that this idea of an antichrist is any spirit that goes against the free will that the Creator gives all of us to do our assignment that we were given before we entered our mother's womb. So though anything that to me comes against that free will that we have that flows, that helps you live a peaceful, healthy life, then that probably is the Antichrist spirit. So we got plenty of those walking around here. And in terms of what is the Holy Spirit, when you hear that term in Sunday school, remember we're starting off in Sunday school, very elementary information about what is that, what does it mean? Sunday school tells Holy Spirit is of G-O-D. So who is G-O-D? Well, G-O-D is dog backwards. And I remember doing a yoga class in my yard. I do it every Wednesday morning at 11:11. And this dog would always come. Every Wednesday, this dog comes and starts barking. And I heard almost in my, I seemed to hear, that's me. God was saying that G-O-D backwards is dog. That's part of me. Every animal on the planet is part of the creator spirit. So you could call a dog a holy spirit, in my opinion, because that dog is so gives such unconditional love and pure, and purity is in the heart of dogs, and they just animal. All animals to me have holy spirits in them. And so, and then we kill them and eat them. But the idea that the temple of the creator has a holy spirit in it, a holy spirit, I think it's any energy of love and truth and light could be called a holy spirit, as long as it is in alignment with nature, wanting to walk in harmony, wanting to walk in truth, and wanting to walk in compassion. That, to me, is where the Holy Spirit will dwell. And then those of us who are stuck, it came to me recently that those who are stuck in resentment and fear and anxiety, they're going to have a hard time operating in the Holy, with the Holy Spirit's presence. Because those energies, those spirits of resentment and fear and anger and unforgiveness, in my experience, those are spirits that interfere with you functioning on this earth in love and compassion and wisdom. So there's all kinds of things we learn in Sunday school that today should be helping us explore more and share this with everyone as conditional or a share as subjective truth, because it's your experience, it's my experience. They don't always line up, but if we're always disagreeing with people, I've come to see that when there's always disagreement in conversations you have with people, that sometimes you're probably missing the spirit of the Holy One, the Holy Spirit. Because if everyone's operating in Holy Spirit, truth, love, compassion, wisdom, then you're not going to have as many disagreements. I have some friends that we always have this great conversations, and we present ideas in a different form, fashion, but we don't disagree as much as we just say, oh, I get that. I'm growing. I'm learning. And every day is something new to explore. And so today, especially for my Christian friends, I want you to think about the sacredness of this human vessel that you want the Holy Spirit to dwell in, the sacredness of it all. Because there's a lot of people who call themselves Christ, born again Christians, who don't really have the mind of that man they call Jesus Christ or Yeshua HaMashiach. They really don't have the mind that says, I'm in the world, but not of it. Because if you're in the world, but not of it, you don't eat every crappy processed food that they put on the shelf for you. Because all you're doing is defiling the temple, in my opinion. Because the temple, here's the two most important things you want to remember about what causes pain in the temple. Inflammation primarily is caused by your emotions, of anger, fear, resentment, judgmental, anxiety, depression, sadness. All those low-frequency emotions will cause inflammation, inflame. Your body becomes inflamed. It's like they have to work overtime to process everything. And then the other items that cause inflammation are food, chemicals. Most of what is in the grocery stores in the middle aisle is not really food at all. It's called processed junk, chemicals. And so tonight, we're resetting. We're transforming our thoughts and our brain, resetting these brains. Again, why are we doing this? Because comorbidities are still lurking in the background of the reason that so many pawns were wiped off the chessboard in the last 3 years. And we forget that. They got another virus coming your way to scare you. And we are here at Soul Purpose Healing to remind you how powerful you are. No virus can take you out unless you have a lot of fear, anxiety, resentment, unforgiveness, fear, as opposed to the Holy Spirit of love, compassion, wisdom, and harmony with nature. And harmony with nature is peace, that you're not going around shooting down birds and squirrels and everything and killing. In fact, that commandment, thou shalt not kill, is pretty key to help the temple flourish and be in harmony and health. And killing on every level, really, when it comes down to it, we shouldn't be killing a lot of bugs. We've killed 65 billion animals in 1 year in this country, or if not the world. 65 billion, that's what my friend Ralph Smart reported on one of his videos. So we're dealing with a lot of karma in this planet when you're killing 65 billion animals. And if you're participating in that, whether you're eating them or not, it can affect the life we lead in your city, in your town, because those animals, guess what? They got spirits in them, and they're so cute. Anyway, we're going to take a break, I think. Let me see if Naima Latif is in the studio. Naima, give me a text if you're ready to go to commercials. Otherwise, we have another audio we're going to play about the temple and how beautiful. We want to bring respect back to this human temple. We want to bring back reverence back to this human temple. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, and there's just so much, okay, that we need to relearn about this temple, so that we don't fall, we don't become the pawns in 2022 like the last 3 years. It's real, folks. They're already starting the campaign to up the fear and get rid of people on the planet. They think the elites and the egomaniacs think we have too many people on the planet, overpopulation.
Unmuted.
And so the plan is to get rid of some of the weeds and those who are what they call useless eaters. Think about useless eaters. What are you putting in your mind, your ears, your eyes, your mouth that would make you a useless eater? You're brain dead if you keep putting all these chemicals and unclean thoughts and unclean food in your body. It's only going to weaken the temple even more. So, Naima Latif, I believe your mic is open, 312-721. And we're going to go to commercials, and we'll be right back with more wonderful knowledge about this beautiful temple that is fearfully and wonderfully made. Thank you.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 community. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe, while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. This evening, and we've got a comment, I believe, from our Facebook greetings ready. Okay, thank you. And I was listening, thinking about the words of Dr. Willie about crime is increasing in Chicago. Now, I saw a news meeting with the mayor of Chicago, and someone said crime was increasing, and she said, "No, that's not true. Somebody's lying. Guess who?" In any case, I'm rooting for Willie because he's a humanitarian, and we need more humanitarians in public office if that can possibly work. But one of the reasons crime is increasing anywhere, my feeling is that there's too many people eating crappy diets, because you're going to hear later on how these crappy diets can affect the brain. Actually, it's more like the brain, how the brain is the temple, represents so much about the temple that helps us stay sane. So part of the problem in major cities or anywhere where people are killing each other and have such low regard for life, whether it's animals or people, is that they're putting a bunch of chemicals in the temple. We have lost the respect for the sacred temple. And tonight we're trying to bring it back, transform it, and remind everyone how this temple needs to be treated with more respect. And that includes drugs of all kinds. Don't tell me that you're conscious and you are living a life of holiness and spirituality and you're putting drugs of all kinds in your body. That's not just, be real and honest and true and admit you need help and get help. Because the powers that be have a new plan for all the weeds and the useless eaters coming this year, and they're going to bombard us. They're already starting with propaganda about worry, fear about another virus. So we want to be totally prepared, strengthen up these bodies to be the sovereign queens and kings that we are, resisting any type of temptation to go into fear, and especially resisting the negativity of the people around us and the institutions around us that don't lift us up as sovereign people. So this next audio I want to share with you, if there's no questions, let me check. There's no questions, so I'm going to go to my next audio. What representation exists between the temple of Yahweh? They actually use Yahweh's name. And the human body. So let's just keep up the idea of Sunday school teachings about the human body and the temple, because we have totally forgot. We went brain dead for the last 2 years and even before, that we could put anything and everything in this temple and it's going to be okay. We have lost respect, and I've been assigned the task of reminding us about how much...
Behold. I stand at the door and knock. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. In the temple, the temple of Yahweh represents the human body. That's why Yahushua said, "Destroy the temple, I will raise it in 3 days," talking about his own body, because he is the temple of Yahweh, and when we believe in him, we become part of the temple as a stone in the temple, just like Yahushua is the cornerstone. So the temple is a human body. The two pillars of the temple represent the two legs. The most set apart place represents the head. The set apart place represents the
abdomen.
The upper body, pretty much where the heart is, and it represents, well, and that is why in the, well, for instance, in the most set apart place, which represents the head, there were the two tablets as the two sides of the brain. The two tablet stone that had the Ten Commandments and many other things that have to do with the head, and it was the most important part. Then the set apart place, it would be this part where the heart is, and the heart was represented by the shulchan, or the table of the bread. There was the manna that was inside the most set apart place that represented Mashiach, and in the set apart place, there was a showbread. Manna represents the first, the showbread represents the last, first and last, a bread that comes from heaven, a bread that grew from the ground. So the shulchan or the table represents the heart. And that is why here we see, behold, I stand at the door, as in to enter the home, the house of the person, meaning the body, as in I stand at the heart and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, so he's knocking, he's asking to enter into the person who is lost, to enter into the person who is blind, poor, naked, miserable, wretched, to help that person. But he doesn't enter by force. He actually knocks. He's a gentleman about it. And I will read more about this point later on, so I hope I don't forget. But I'll just say a couple more things. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him. So that shows how the Ruach of Mashiach enters the person once the person hears the voice. The voice. So through the last, who is the voice, the people who hear that doctrine and follow it and believe in the doctrine, of course, and put it back to practice and confess the name of Mashiach, will receive the Ruach of Mashiach, and that Ruach will enter them. I will come into him and dine with him, as in the Shulchan, the table. The family used to eat together at the table. And that represents that even though there are several members, they are one body, they are one family. So the fact that Mashiach is saying this is to become one with the person, represented by the act of eating together on the table.
So what do you think about that? Sorry about that. What do you think about that analysis of the human body? And the temple. I want to, he said something that reminded me of the soul entering, when the soul enters the human body. We, last week, we talked about, you know, women, once they know they are with child, and some women don't even know when that happens. We have debates about, you know, when does that actually take place. And so I found this very interesting teaching about how and when does the soul enter the human body, because it's just so fascinating to me, and I hope it will be to you, to understand how this temple works. This is the fearfully, wonderfully made temple. And when we really study all the major parts and functions, we can have nothing but respect. Respect, reverence, and appreciation for this temple. So this audio is called How and When Does the Soul Enter the Human Body? Where Does It Reside? I thought it was so fascinating. So appropriate as we take back our sovereignty in choosing whether they want to have a pregnancy or not. this knowledge is helpful to know that there it takes the fear away, the ignorance away about really what's going on.
Most spiritual traditions speak of an entity within us, which is called the soul, or life force, or Atman. But scientists and philosophers have often questioned its existence. However, even in the past, the insights of mystics and sages have initially been questioned, only to be later recognized as being closer to the truth. So, if we assume that such a thing as the soul exists, how does it manifest in human form? We asked author and heartfulness guide, Sachi.
So based on the attitude of parents at the moment of conception, because of this attitude, it creates a certain level of vibratory level around them. This field attracts a soul matching that frequency. It's not that somebody comes and says, okay, I have got this soul in this family. The soul that matches that vibratory level will be attracted. It fits in like lock and key.
Human life starts with the sperm merging with an egg. It is a biological process that culminates in the birth of the baby. Where is the soul during this process?
So the soul hovers around this mother's womb. The genetic process has started. It is the soul that becomes very important now by remaining outside in that vicinity of the womb. It starts applying its force. It accelerates this division of cells. First critical organ that is formed is the heart. And from the heart, again, slowly other organs are nourished.
According to yogic science, along with the physical body, the spiritual body also develops. A network of pathways for the life force to flow through is created. Places where many of these pathways intersect form into energy vortices. These are called chakras and also known as points in spiritual anatomy. Although most yogic traditions recognize seven major chakras, some, like the heartfulness tradition, also speak of many more points and suffering.
Now when the embryo is ready and proper brain formation is there, and as soon as Brahmarandhra is formed in the brain, which is here, the occipital area of the brain, which in heartfulness tradition we call it the 12th point, the soul enters through the 12th point. Moment Brahmarandhra chakra is completely formed. And this happens within 3 months of embryo development. Why doesn't the soul enter before 3 months? For that, I'd like to give you a small example. Let us see if I'm manufacturing an electronic device. If it is not completely formed and I plug it with the electric current, what will happen?
Once it enters the body, where does the soul go? Is it present throughout the body? The spiritual journey is often characterized as an expansion of consciousness that occurs as one moves through the points or chakras. So where exactly does the soul reside?
Heart is the seat of the soul. That's where it resides. It is through this heart that it reaches out to all the chakras in the system as well as other dimensions which are not experienced. There are so many dimensions to cover, physical as well as metaphysical. when our journey begins from the heart, that means the soul's energy is now moving upward. Now when the soul's energy moves upward and settles on the Atma Chakra, but does the soul actually move there? No, it doesn't move there. You know, think of it this way. There's a trunk of a tree. And there are many branches. One branch is reaching here, another branch is reaching higher, another branch is going this way. So like that, there's a heart here. Atma resides there. One branch that goes up to the Atma Chakra. Energy flows there. Another branch extends up to the Agni Chakra. Energy flows there. So in this heartfulness way, between the chakras, between the path in between, the energy reaches out from the soul residing in the heart to all these chakras without hindrance.
Daji is, however, unwilling to impose this view on anyone. He encourages everyone to undertake their own personal exploration through heartfulness meditation, which is offered for free throughout the world.
Your life force is within you. Try to experience that in more depth. Life itself is an experience, proving that there is something greater than this manifestation.
So the soul enters the heart first, at the heart location, at the heart chakra. Fascinating information to me about this temple. Once again, the dynamics and the beauty of this temple that we live in. And tonight, if you're just joining us, we are being reminded of the sacredness of this temple, the beauty of this temple, and the value of this temple that has been somewhat taken away or forgotten after the last 2-3 years, in fact. We have forgotten about our sovereignty, and we have crime increasing in major cities, as we heard from that commercial, and much of it is because there's no sacred respect for the temple, no respect for the sacred temple. So people are putting all kinds of garbage in their temples, drugs in their temples, and just totally forgetting the value of this temple that can really, really enhance our life and give us the power we need to flow in this life and not just have to be forcing our way through everything. When we are consciously aware and operating, living, walking, breathing in the idea that this is a sacred temple, I need to watch what I see, put in through with my eyes, my ears, with what I watch, what I put in my mouth, and what I bring into my heart, and especially what I put out in the way of energy from the spirits of resentment to anger, bitterness, jealousy, fear, anxiety, all those low-frequency emotions are going to affect the way we think. So our next audio that we're going to play is about the human brain and the body. This is another fascinating revelation about this temple that we live in and how it can really help us thrive if we are conscious, being conscious of the value of this body and all its parts. And this one has been particular is about the human brain and the body, which is totally fascinating. I think you're going to really enjoy this and thrive. Take this with you to the bank. Here we go.
Today we're going to look at the brain. Because when you read the Bible, everything, all those stories are talking about this. They are talking about the brain. This is the High Father. This is the kingdom of God. This is where we must reach. This is the highest place. This is where it all goes down. So as shown in those verses, I'm going to explain why this is so important, why knowledge of how this particular organ that you have is important. Now, science these days would like to make people believe that consciousness is a result of the brain, or that consciousness rather comes from the brain, or the brain secretes consciousness like how your glands would secrete certain hormones or chemicals, when actually the brain is a physical manifestation of consciousness. So consciousness or the mind creates the brain so that it can use it as a tool to function within the physical world. So now we're going to look at how the brain is related to the Bible. Now, to understand the brain, you're first going to have to understand that it's divided into two parts. It's divided into two hemispheres, the left hemisphere and the right hemisphere. A right hemisphere. So this is what the brain is divided into. This whole part here is called the cherubim, the biggest, or the cerebrum, the biggest part of the brain. So now, these two sides have very distinct, important functions, and we're going to look at that. The left side of the brain deals with what we call the masculine energies, which look at things like logic, math, science, linear. The left brain thinks in a linear way. It's masculine, hence it moves in straight lines in terms of the pattern of thinking, and it deals with a square, which is a masculine shape. This is the left side of the brain. Now we're going to talk about the most important side of the brain. Even the left one is important, but this one is a key player. This side of the brain deals with what we call imagination, intuition, creativity, and art, and it moves in a spiral form in terms of its thought patterns, and it is feminine. So it spirals, and it's represented by a circle because the circle is a feminine shape. Now, they call this part the cerebrum. In the book of Genesis, as I showed in those verses, they say that after man fell from the garden, God placed what? A cherubim to guard the what? The right side. Or they say to guard the east. The sun rises in what? In the east. So this is what you must illuminate, because the sun rises in the east, which represents enlightenment. So this is where enlightenment takes place, which is why Jesus said that I will sit at the right hand of the Father. And when he met the disciples, he told them to cast the net to what? To the right side. The net represents the thoughts. So he was basically saying, capture the thoughts on the right side of the brain, and then you will capture the fish. So imagination, intuition, creativity, art, music, all these are functions that are dealing with this side of the hemisphere. This is the right hand of the Father. All of this is the Father, but Jesus says that I will sit at the right hand of the Father, and that you cannot come to the Father except through me. Why? Because the right side of the brain is closely related to what we call the heart chakra. I'm just going to write that. The heart chakra. You have seven major chakras. I did those in previous threads. But the heart chakra is where you begin to understand oneness. So Jesus is the heart chakra. And only through understanding love can you ascend to the right-hand side of the Father, which deals with this. When you try to come to God using logic, math, science, this is where wars and, no, my God is right, your God is wrong. This is where all of this is taking place. That's why they call this age the age of the woman. It's the age of the feminine, because why? We are awakening all of this from within us. We have two polarities as people. We have a negative charge and a positive charge. The negative charge is the feminine side. The positive charge is the masculine side. Even the body itself is divided into two parts, if I may draw a little stick man here. The left side of the body is feminine. That's why most people can't kick or write with the left hand, because it's a negative charge. But the right side of the body has a positive charge, which is why most people are right-handed. But now here's the deal. When it gets to the head, the polarities
switch up. And the left side is masculine and the right side is feminine, which is this side. I will sit at the right hand of the Father. This is the mystery. It's all about the brain, the cerebrum, the activation of the right side of the brain. This is the key to God. The cherubim is that which is guarding this side, because once the cherubim opens up, then you are given the secrets to Eden. You are given the secrets to Eden. Eden is higher consciousness, which is where you fell from as the prodigal son, as we have been looking for the last previous days with the threads. So we fell from a higher universal consciousness, and we fell into left thinking. We have become left brain, masculine. We only deal with logic. Well, we want things this way. We want things this way. But the key to God is to come back to this, to the feminine. That's why they call this the age of Aquarius. We are moving out of the age of Pisces, and now we are moving into the age, for the last 2,000 years, we were in the age of Pisces, and now we are moving into the age of Aquarius, which deals with knowledge and information. It's the age of the feminine, which is why you see many people awakening their Kundalini. The Kundalini is also assisted by the feminine energy. Many people are becoming much more spiritual because they are now casting their net, their thoughts to the right side. You can only see that something is wrong with the world when you have this. You need to have intuition. This is where discernment comes in. We're going to stop here for today. Thank you.
Whoa. That was so powerful. Oh, my goodness. I think we're going to have to play that again, because that was just
this
so
anti-snoring
much,
device isn't
so
a toy.
Much information that I'm going to have to play that again later. But it is time for our second break. And if Naima Latif is ready, we'll open up her mic. Yep, she's ready. So, oh, I hope you enjoyed that. If you have any questions or comments, we do have caller, two hands in the studio up. So as soon as we come back from the break, we'll open up your mic.
Unmuted.
Thank you for joining us. And Naima, your mic is open. Thank you.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com. where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
Our kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com. mindfulnessmoments.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Temple right here where your soul is dwelling and your emotions processing and energy is flowing and all this good stuff. I'm going to have to play that last audio again because he brought forth so much information about the Pisces era versus the age of Aquarius and how the brain is where the activity, your consciousness is manifested in this brain, hallelujah. And so we are really learning a lot, and unfortunately, we have too many people, especially Christians, I'm sorry, but I see more Christians eating a bunch of crap, putting a bunch of crap in the temple of the Holy Spirit, the temple of consciousness. So this is a reminder tonight. If you want to avoid the comorbidities of the past 3 years and the fear be swept away as a pawn in this twilight zone, then let's start wising up and taking better care of this temple. Let me go to the phones. I'm so glad you're calling in. 773-366, your mic is open. Welcome to the show.
Yes, good evening. This is Naima. I called in on another line to make it easier.
Okay.
Yes, well, I listened to it. Very interesting. Well, you know, listen to Tina Louise Spalding. She's a trans channel who channels the one we know as Jesus, you know, Yeshua. And today, someone asked a question about the Roe versus Wade decision. What was, you know, Jesus' opinion on that? And I thought the answer was just so fabulous. And someone said, well, you need to post this one up on YouTube because otherwise, you know, if you're not in the private channeling session, you don't hear the answers. But she said, yeah, I think I'll do that. And, you know, when I look at all of the arguments we've had back and forth and everybody focusing on, oh, they're not letting women have abortions and all that, but, you know, what he said, and if she posted on YouTube, I'm going to probably put it on my Facebook page. But what he said was, this is the time for women to take more responsibility for their bodies. And haven't we been saying that?
Very true. That's right.
And, you know, I mean, your choice is when you decide to be intimate with somebody. That's the point of your choice. You have the power of choice. And you already know that if this act of intimacy could result in a pregnancy, then you know to choose to not do it. I mean, you have the power of choice already. So you've given the power to the government. This is a sign to you that you should not have given away your power of your choice to the government. And it just made so much sense. It made so much sense. And he said what the reason why women are getting so upset is because they're faced with their feeling of powerlessness. And that's something that women have had. So now we're faced with, we've always been feeling like, you know, men just disregard us, disregard our bodies, use our bodies, and we don't have any repercussions. Well, that's something we got to address and fix as a society if that's what we're feeling. So I really thought about that answer, and then what you presented about even how the body is formed. Well, you know, there's another person that we're not even thinking about. That child that is putting forth that energy to create the body, they made a decision too, and we're just disregarding that, you know. And I think about it like, say if you and your spouse have a joint bank account, and you're both putting money in it from your jobs, you know, every week you're getting paid, you're putting your paycheck in it, and you're thinking, okay, well we're saving up, we're going to buy a house, so you finally get enough money, and then you know you go and you check the bank account, you find a house, you think you're going to buy it, and you go check the bank account, and it's empty. And you go, you're like, what happened to the money? He said, well, you know what, I have this student loan that has been outstanding. I decided to pay it. He's like, wait a minute, but you just disregarded. This was supposed to be both of ours, and you just went off and did something else and didn't even consult me, didn't even think about, you know, this is not just yours, this is ours. It's the same thing with your body. When women say, my body, my choice, well, not just yours. You got somebody else's body in there, too. So it's both of you all, and you just disregarded their choice to be here, you know, like they didn't matter. So that's how I look at it when people go back and forth about, well, is it a person? Well, it was, you know, it's the soul creating that body so they can use it, and you just disregard their choice. You know, your choice was not to open a door for them to get to be able to do it. But you did that. You made the choice, and now you're going to just, you know, discard their decision. So, you know, anyway, I thought that was a really interesting answer that was given, and I'm hoping it's posted on YouTube. And I really think, this really helps people to realize that there's an intelligence, there's a being that's planning to inhabit this body. Is not just something happening. It's not your body and your choice. It's someone else's choice also in there. And so thank you for raising consciousness about that, the fact that it's not just us making that decision.
Well, thank you, Naima. And I'm glad that more people are bringing out the positive side of this decision by the, as I said last week, the lower Supreme Court, because what you just brought up is the fact that there's a higher Supreme Court that is always looking out for our good, that is always wanting us to raise our consciousness, to evolve. And so this person you're mentioning is trying to help us evolve along with the Female Solution family, that we are in everything that happens in our society, whether it's the lower Supreme Court with the black robes, all those people, or if it's the government. There's the higher Supreme Court, the karmic energy, the cosmic energy, the planetary energy is always wanting us to evolve and be more creative in our choices and our lifestyle and all that. So all of this is happening for our good. No, we don't want to have everybody going to an abortion clinic when they decide that they can't handle the life growing, the idea of a new life growing in their body. We want women and men to overstand the choices they have now are to take self-responsibility and to create whatever they want in their life, because it's possible. When you take on the attitude that you're sovereign and that you are powerful and that everything is here for your good. So I really appreciate whoever that is. You have to send that to me as well. I'll put that on my Facebook page as well, because we don't want women in this age of Aquarius, as he said in the last audio, the female energy is rising now. We've had all this male energy, patriarchal energy, that has been controlling things in a way that are detrimental to humans and the earth in general. And so it's now time for women to take over. Women, take over. It's time to take over and bring about a healthier planet, for one, and to bring about consciousness where we are more aware of this sacred temple. As we're talking about tonight, we're talking about the human body is the temple that was referred to in the Bible. And that has always, all the Bible is are references to our temple body and the journey that we're on to help us evolve. It's not a history book. And too many, especially Christians, take it literally and think we're supposed to look at abominations in a certain way and hate on people. And yet the idea that I have learned is for all of us to not be judgmental, but to be ready to evolve and grow and become the powerful beings that we were meant to become. So if you have a question in the blog, I saw another hand up, but I guess they put their hand down. If you have a question in the blog talk studio, press 1. And if you have a comment or a question in the Facebook Live studio, then we'll read your comment here on the air. And in the meantime, I'm going to play All Nations Rise by Lila June. This may get me a, this is what I'm thinking. We need to come together. Okay, I knew that. Mama AZ's hand is up. So I'll play her, open her mic first, and then we're going to listen to Lila June encouraging us to rise up and take control of our bodies tonight is what the message is. The temple, and have more respect for this sacred temple. Mama AZ, your mic is open. Welcome.
Thank us. Dr. Z, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Glad you have a new phone.
Yeah, and it's piled with X-rated stuff. And I don't, it's a new phone, and I got to get it off of there. But in the meantime, I'm doing my best not to let it jerk my chain, you know?
Yeah, right.
My God, Dr. V, I just don't know what to say, but you are so connected, you know, and thank you, Dr. Lateef, for that input. I think it was two years ago when I spent 14 days in Miracle Valley at the resting spot, meaning the cemetery, y'all. I call it the resting spot, Miracle Valley, Arizona. And I've been having all of these visions and sightings and things. And what you said and what you played, you got to play it again, because basically during that 14 days on a vision quest out there at Miracle Valley, some of what you are ushering in tonight is some of the things that Reverend Allen would communicate to me. And it's just unbelievable that you, some kind of way, you be picking this stuff and you be listening, Dr. V. And it just, it encourages me to not to give up, because these are very challenging times for me right now. I'm back at home, and I'm kind of like on my own until a creator sends somebody to assist me. But what I heard you say, that little video teaching, is that the left side is the feminine? No, the right. Wait, the right side is the feminine. I've always been taught that it was just the opposite. Yeah, you got to play that again. That the left side was the mass. No, wait. The right side was the masculine, and the left side was the feminine. I've always been taught that, and I've always been told that. So are you sure? I'm kind of like, okay, I got to re-research this. So please play that again. And then I was thinking also about Roe versus Wade, that don't those young ones, the babies, who take a seat partially in their mom's gate, don't they have an agreement? Did they have an agreement? And I wanted to ask Dr. Lateef what was her take on that. These babies that are being aborted, don't they also have an agreement before they take up residence there in that wound? That they agreed to be in connections with the mom, knowing that they got to leave, or it may be a possibility that they are going to be aborted, because we all have agreements that we come to the planet with, that we agreed before all of the pregnancies and all of that takes place what's your read on that as well? Do you understand what I just asked?
Right. I had a guest on a few weeks ago, Leslie, who has a Facebook. She had a Facebook page called Soul Babies, and her specialty is communicating with soul babies that leave the mother and come back again. And so she definitely has some knowledge and wisdom about what you're talking about, and that is that, yeah, babies have an agreement to go into certain mothers, and if that mother decides that she's not ready, that soul baby just hangs around from what Leslie described, and is going to wait for another opportunity to come back. Or, mm-hmm. And so that's why Leslie counsels women who have had abortions or miscarriages on how to heal from losing a child or saying goodbye to a child through abortion or what have you. And so, we're such multidimensional creatures, and having this type of knowledge is very special, but yet we don't want to confuse people about what it means for them. It doesn't mean that you have to feel guilty about miscarriage or abortion, because what Leslie points out is the thing is to just be conscious about it and to know what's going on and be peace about it. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. And this is a good thing, because when my niece's children came to me, I was up at Art's cabin during a sacred fire, and I had gotten the ultrasound, and I looked at them, and I said, babies, I said, why are you giving your mom so much trouble with being here, you know? And I heard in the fire just as clear as you can hear me now and I can hear you. And it was a girl and a guy, and it says, Aunt Robbie, we came because we thought that we could bring our, you know, mission to the family, but we now see that these dear ones are not capable of bringing us to our full potential. And I'm like, what? And I'm like, am I crazy? And I heard this in my ear, like through a bullhorn. And they said, we have to leave because this family isn't suitable for our mission. And I'm like, am I crazy? Did I just hear what I thought I heard? And 2 days later, Dr. V, when I got back to High Point and my caregiver was braiding my hair, and my sister Maddie calls me, and she says, Jet lost the babies. And I said, I know. They came to me at the fire and told me. And she cussed me out and hung the phone up. And my caregiver was just looking at me, and she says, your sister really doesn't know who you are, does she, Mama AC? I said, I guess not. So it is possible that they all had an agreement. And what I need to say here, family, is that I am so grateful for Soul Purpose Healing and the Female Solution, that you have this platform to bring people some awareness. And this is what Reverend A.A. Allen of Miracle Valley communicates with me now. He channels through me on some issues. And the very thing that we are talking about is some of the very subjects, reasonings that he and I have in meditation. And it's kind of scary how you choose subjects and information, Dr. V. It's like you too are tapped in to Reverend Allen. It just is, I don't know what else to say, but thank us.
Thank us. I think I think this is Naima raising her hand again. 773-366, your mic is open.
Yes, and then after I make a statement, there's someone on the Female Solution line that wants to speak. But as far as what Mama AZ was asking, Dolores Cannon, who has regressed a number of people, you know, back to the birth process and all that, and others who have talked about their pre-birth experience, yeah, there are agreements and there are possibilities, but like anything else, just like, you know, after you're born, you might have an agreement, somebody changes their mind. So the person who has agreed and has planned to come through these parents, they also are aware that the parents are emotionally unstable, and it's a possibility that they may not be able to follow through with the pregnancy. Also, what happens in stillborn cases, you know, somebody agreed to be born, but, you know, they, just like your niece and nephew, they change their mind. They say, I'm not ready, or the situation's not really what I want to come into right now, whatever the case. But you know, everybody is a soul with free will, you know, before birth and afterwards. So we're always making decisions and changing our minds if we don't feel comfortable with a situation. So that's why there's no judgment in the way, you know, religion teaches, oh, you're going to hell, you killed a child. No, that's not it. You know, it's understood that this person was not emotionally ready for this situation, but the whole thing is to know that, you know, you, before you get pregnant, you have the power to make a decision not to open the door if you're not ready, and you know you're not ready, then you can avoid that whole situation. But, you know, sometimes either side might change their mind, but, yeah, there was an agreement, but somebody wasn't ready to follow through. So we got a caller if you want to take on.
Well, yeah, that's fascinating. Thank you, Naima. Very fascinating.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr.
Matiba. Thank you. Go ahead, Naima, if you want to open their mic.
Yeah, let me open the mic for, hold on. I'm sorry. Hold on. My screen decided to go blank suddenly. We'll open the mic.
Unmuted.
Yes. Hold on. Let me try to open the mic. My screen went blank. So let me open up another device real quick. Hold on. Coming to you.
Other call.
Yes. Hold on a second. Let me open their mic. Yeah. Okay. Oh, here we go. Okay. 773-977. Your mic is open. Yeah.
Hi, this is Lois here in Chicago, and I thank God for everybody today. You know, I feel personally that the miscarriages that some of our women have had that they're still moping over today. I believe, and I was always told that there was something wrong with the child, that the child might have been born deformed or one of those situations where the baby wouldn't even move unless you moved the child, you know. So sometimes if the baby is not forming properly, I think God has his own way of taking the child and taking care of it himself. You know, in some respect, that's my belief about miscarriages. And sometimes it's hard to get over a miscarriage. It's especially if you haven't had any children. And then lastly, I'd like to say, I wonder if either our host or anyone listening knows the richest place in the world. And that's my input for today. And thank God for everyone again. Bye bye. This is Lois.
My guess would be Dubai on that question, Dubai. But that's something we can easily Google. But in answer to your question about miscarriages, I heard a fascinating teaching today that Kwame Sunhor sent me about Bruce Lipton is a cellular biologist, and you could probably find him on this on YouTube. But he was talking about how influential the mother is while that baby is in the womb, and that the energy of that mother's emotion and the relationships she's having with the father are so key as to how healthy that baby will be. So when you think about that dynamic of miscarriage and all that, yeah, sure. I don't know if it's quote God ending the pregnancy or what, but we are, if we take self responsibility, even as a mother expecting, you can create. That's why I say you have the power, either consciously or not, unconsciously, to end that pregnancy. And the state of her health, mental health, while when she becomes pregnant, will be determine the health of that child. Not only, again, her own diet, how she's feeding her body, how she's caring for her mental state, and the relationship she's having with the father. All of those play into how healthy that baby, and like Lois said, whether that baby will go full term or not. So, yeah, all of that plays in a part. And that's Bruce Lipton, who's a scientist, was talking about that and addictions and how powerful our body is. We're not influenced by our genes, he says. It's called epigenetics, and it's the environment inside the temple, as we're talking about today. It's the environment inside the temple and outside the temple that will influence how healthy and how quickly a person can get over their addictions and so forth. If you stay in the same environment, if you're addicted to any substance and you're struggling with that, if you stay in the same environment where you've been struggling with this addiction, then that addiction will be hard to get rid of because your environment outside is going, and your mind. And we're going to play when we come back, we're going to play that teaching again on the human brain. And yes, the left side is the feminine side, Mama AC, and the right side is the masculine. Now, the brain, though, might be opposite. I'm not sure if the left side of the brain is feminine and the right side of the brain is masculine, but it switches, whatever side it is on the brain, it switches in the body. It's like a transfer of energy. So thank you, Lois, for that question and for that comment. And I'm going to Google, while we're listening to the commercials, I'm going to Google the richest place in the world. So thank you, Naima. I think your mic is still open if you want to go ahead.
This is Minister Cynthia Marie Williams, spiritual counselor and advisor. I invite you to a private reading in the areas of business, health, finances, relationships. My introductory cost of $20. Please call because there is a higher power that can help me help you. 312-802-4743. Peace and blessings to you all. Call me. 312-802-4743.
Tax are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost, and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me, for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. mahlatif.com.
Thank you for joining us this evening. So Lewis was asking a little trivial question about what's the richest country? Okay, wrong or no. Richest countries in the world. This thing is all over the place. But here's a 2022 listing of the richest countries in the world. And it looks like, who is this? Okay, they don't really, they have a map of richest countries. But at one point, China, then Luxembourg is on the list, and it's all over the place. China overcame the United States. Okay, and here's the top richest countries in the world by the Monaco, Liechtenstein, Luxembourg is up there, Switzerland, and the United States has fallen to number 8, it appears. So anyway, interesting trivia there. Top 10 richest countries by G, and it depends on how they're measuring it, by GNI per capita. Liechtenstein, Switzerland, Norway, Luxembourg, United States number 5 on another list. So it's all over the place. So anyway, for your curiosity.
Muted.
You have another caller.
Why we keep having to buy stuff from China, building up their economy. That is one of the reasons why we need to.
You are now in the host queue.
Our consumerism and stop making other countries wealthy and worry. Just deal with the United States and help our citizens to be in peace and health and contribute to the health of our countries. So here we go. We're going to play that last audio again about the human brain and the human temple. Because we had a request to do that for one. And, yeah, he did say the body temple and the human brain. So let's listen to that once again. Take notes if you need to and share this with your friends. Important information for us to move forward with respect and appreciation for this temple that is going to guide us, protect us, and help us in the future to thrive and be our best.
Today we're going to look at the brain. Because when you read the Bible, everything, all those stories are talking about this. They are talking about the brain. This is the High Father. This is the kingdom of God. This is where we must reach. This is the highest place. This is where it all goes down. So as shown in those verses, I'm going to explain why this is so important, why knowledge of how this particular organ that you have is important. Now, science these days would like to make people believe that consciousness is a result of the brain, or that consciousness rather comes from the brain, or the brain secretes consciousness like how your glands would secrete certain hormones or chemicals, when actually the brain is a physical manifestation of consciousness. So consciousness or the mind creates the brain so that it can use it as a tool to function within the physical world. But now we're going to look at how the brain is created into the Bible. Now, to understand the brain, you're first going to have to understand that it's divided into two parts. It's divided into two hemispheres, the left hemisphere and the right hemisphere. A right hemisphere. So this is what the brain is divided into. This whole part here is called the cerebrum, the biggest, or the cerebrum, the biggest part of the brain. So now these two sides have very distinct important functions, and we're going to look at that. The left side of the brain deals with what we call the masculine energies, which look at things like logic, math, science, linear. The left brain thinks in a linear way. It's masculine, hence it moves in straight lines in terms of the pattern of thinking, and it deals with a square, which is a masculine shape. This is the left side of the brain. Now we're going to talk about the most important side of the brain. Even the left one is important, but this one is a key player. This side of the brain deals with what we call imagination, intuition, creativity, and art, and it moves in a spiral form in terms of its thought patterns, and it is feminine. So it spirals, and it's represented by a circle because the circle is a feminine shape. Now, they call this part the cerebrum. In the book of Genesis, as I showed in those verses, they say that after man fell from the garden, God placed what? A cherubim to guard the what? The right side. Or they say to guard the east. The sun rises in what? In the east. So this is what you must illuminate, because the sun rises in the east, which represents enlightenment. So this is where enlightenment takes place, which is why Jesus said that I will cast, or I will sit at the right hand of the Father. And when he met the disciples, he told them to cast the net to what? To the right side. The net represents the thoughts. So he was basically saying, capture the thoughts on the right side of the brain, and then you will capture the fish. So imagination, intuition, creativity, art, music, all these are functions that are dealing with this side of the hemisphere. This is the right hand of the Father. All of this is the Father, but Jesus says that I will sit at the right hand of the Father, and that you cannot come to the Father except through me. Why? Because the right side of the brain closely related to what we call the heart chakra. I'm just going to write that. The heart chakra. You have seven major chakras. I did those in previous threads. But the heart chakra is where you begin to understand oneness. So Jesus is the heart chakra. And only through understanding love can you ascend to the right-hand side of the Father, which deals with this. When you try to come to God using logic, math, science, this is where wars and, no, my God is right, your God is wrong, this is where all of this is taking place. That's why they call this age the age of the woman. It's the age of the feminine, because why? We are awakening all of this from within us. We have two polarities as people. We have a negative charge and a positive charge. The negative charge is the feminine side. The positive charge is the masculine side. Even the body itself is divided into two parts, if I may draw a little stick man here. The left side of the body is feminine. That's why most people can't kick or write with the left hand, because it's a negative charge. But the right side of the body has a positive charge, which is why most people are right-handed. But now here's the deal. When it gets to the head, the polarities switch up. And the left side is masculine, and the right side is feminine, which is this side. I will sit at the right hand of the Father. This is the mystery. It's all about the brain, the cerebrum, the activation of the right side of the brain. This is the key to God. The cherubim is that which is guarding this side, because once the cherubim opens up, then you are given the secrets to Eden. You are given the secrets to Eden. Eden is higher consciousness, which is where you fell from as the prodigal son, as we have been looking for the last previous days with the threads. So we fell from a higher universal consciousness, and we fell into left thinking. We have become left brain, masculine. We only deal with logic. Well, we want things this way. We want things this way. But the key to God is to come back to this, to the feminine. That's why they call this the age of Aquarius. We are moving out of the age of Pisces. And now we are moving into the age, for the last 2,000 years, we were in the age of Pisces. And now we are moving into the age of Aquarius, which deals with knowledge and information. It's the age of the feminine, which is why you see many people awakening their Kundalini. The Kundalini is also assisted by the feminine energy. Many people are becoming much more spiritual because they are now casting their net, their thoughts to the right side. You can only see that something is wrong with the world when you have this. You need to have intuition. This is where discernment comes in.
going to stop here for today. Thank you.
So I think we heard him explain how...
So as long as you are trying to make...
How the left brain is male, but the left side of the body is feminine. So if there's a crossover on the brain in the body, that's how why this temple is so amazing, and that's why we need to get back to respect. Tonight is all about getting back to respecting this temple, and there are thousands of products that are offered to the human population as, quote, food. And there are products that our ancestors ate, like from the pig over the years, that helped them survive till maybe the age of 36 or 37. So we can look at the history of food and the history of the stress that our ancestors went through, having to pick cotton, or the stress that my own grandparents had to unload ships. And we realize now, if you've been studying health and nutrition as I have, that the inflammation that occurs in the body from the stress of working, say, 12-hour days every day for 7 days causes inflammation. And this mighty, mighty temple, sacred temple, when it has too much inflammation, it creates disease. So you can get inflammation in two major ways your body becomes inflamed: your emotions, energy, and motion, the sadness, the grief, the unforgiveness, the guilt, the jealousy, the anger, the addictions, and the emotions and the food or drugs that you're putting in your body. That's inflaming the body. And eventually you may not even feel the pain. But if you put enough drugs and dead food and processed food, your liver will become one of the first organs of the temple that will become diseased and weak. Then you have the kidneys shutting down. And, you know, there's a process that this mighty, mighty temple goes through to shut down because we defile it. Let's not be the pawns on this chessboard again this year like the last 3 years. We've learned a lot. Let us rise up, take our sovereignty back. Stop putting garbage in the temple, sacred temple. Let's have more respect for this temple. And I think I have, I have another caller. I don't know which one. Okay. So, Naima, 312-721, your mic is open. And if we have another caller, your mic's open. Thank you. I think it's 779-801.
Hey, greetings.
Greetings.
Is my mic
Maika?
Yes, this is my.
Yes, your mic is open. I can hear you. I'm good.
Good.
How about you?
I'm good. Thank you. You know, I just want to invite you and guests to join me on this Wednesday on the Female Solution. And I'm going to be dealing with this is a man's world versus the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And I'm going to be looking at a number of different factors in determining which one is true and which one is real and what we need to be dealing with as women over against this, you know, focusing on Roe versus Wade, and because that's not the essential issue, obviously. And there's a lot of debate and controversy around, you know, this issue. But there are some other factors that need to be dealt with and discussed that will empower women, because we know that abortion does not empower women. But what does? And that's the question. Do we empower ourselves in spite of what's going on? how did we get to the position where we're at, where we're constantly focused on whether we should or should not, what choice is, you know, trying to determine what determines choice. And I like what Naima was saying earlier, you know, it's like your first choice is before you have sex. It is. It's before you have sex. That's when choice takes place. And the question is, why don't we know that as a species? Because after you get pregnant, all you can do then is react to a failure to plan. Because choice comes based on knowledge. You have to have knowledge to make choices. Because you can't control what you don't know. So you have to know something in order to make a choice, a conscious choice. So we're going to look at what is the empowering factor in this whole discussion that has not really been brought to the surface. So I appreciate if you all would join me and bring your questions and consciousness so that we can delve into this whole issue that's up in arms right now at a whole nother level that speaks to empowerment. And also it's interesting that on the last speaker on the from the YouTube video, he was speaking about masculine and feminine, and the Pisces, the sign of Pisces is a feminine sign, and the Aquarius is a masculine sign. So he didn't speak to, you know, in turn, he said we're moving into the age of Aquarius as if it's a feminine energy. And it's not, it's a masculine energy. But it is an age of femininity still coming into fruition. And there's a reason why that's so. And we can talk about that also, what that signifies. So thank you so much for your show. And I've been listening and learned some things. And I find that what you said, the piece that you said, Brother Kwame had sent you, that is true. The consciousness of the mother is so important in relationship to the development of the child. It is. That's what I've been given. And that's why planning a child is so important rather than a throw of the dice, some haphazard, you know, I'm just going to have sex even though I know I might get pregnant. And, you know, that's not responsible. That's just not responsible, and that's where disempowerment comes in, when you're not being responsible. So we're going to have that discussion on Wednesday. Please join me. Thank you.
I sure will be joining you. Thank you, Maika. Great point. I'm going to go to his YouTube channel and make a comment about that, for moving from the age of Pisces and to the age of Aquarius. I'll make a comment. As you said about he reversed the male feminine in the age of Pisces and Aquarius, so thank you. And we'll be listening on Wednesday because, yeah, we want to help women. Wouldn't it be great if the nurses who work in these abortion clinics would leave their jobs, because they make a lot of money, if they would leave their jobs and start birthing centers in their neighborhoods instead of abortion clinics, where we could do exactly what you just mentioned, educate women from the time they, before they open up their legs to have the seed planted. Let's have youth seminars in these birthing centers. We could do so much if we could get nurses or medical professionals to leave the system and start new birthing centers to create a whole new system of education. So we'll be listening on Wednesday.
They're having abortions also. You have to understand. They're having abortions also. The doctors and the nurses, they're also having abortions.
Yeah, but there have been I've seen a lot of testimonies of abortion clinic workers who couldn't take it anymore. And I just pray that will start happening. Now, that will be one of the wake-up calls for this whole Roe v. Wade thing, that some of the people working in those clinics will say, enough is enough, I'm going to leave. And that's what some of them have been doing for a while now. So hopefully they'll do the birthing center creation as they leave.
So we've got a few more minutes. Mama AZ, your mic is open. I think you pressed one again.
I did. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Dr. Maika, for your gift. And you know, I've been listening to all of this, and I'm going back to before I had my child, my first daughter, and up until this very moment, and what Bruce Lipton, and I need you to send that because I want to send it to my daughter, my oldest child, Shannon. It has a lot to do with the environment and everything. And I can't get too disjointed about how she treats me. She, the way she came up, the way she arrived, the everything, the in between and the before and the after, it leads to all of this. And so what we got to do, family, is not beat up on ourselves. We do better because we know better, and we teach from this point on. Thank us, Dr. V.
And I've got thank you, sister, for sharing and being so transparent. We got one more caller we're going to take before we leave. 701-671. Your mic is open. Welcome.
Yes. Greetings to the family. Peace and blessings to Grandma AZ. This is Craig Van from North Dakota. And I wanted to ask a question to the doctor. And, you know, I do call in. Sister V knows that I call in and I do listen. But I don't always like to chime in. And sometimes she'll tell me, yeah, just come on in, talk. You got a question, ask it. So, you know, there's talk about a 12-month Gregorian solar calendar and zodiac.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But as I walk my journey, as I walk my path, I find that I actually come from a 13-month lunar year, which is completely different. So does this 12-month zodiac year apply to me when going back? And we can find it in history where there was a breakaway from the original 13-month lunar year, where we followed the death, birth, life, death, and then rebirth of a lunar year, which was, you know, across many cultures across the world, this is feminine, right?
Right.
So, you know, is this what we're talking about here? You know, we're coming out of Pisces, and, you know, I did look into it when I lived in Arizona, and I asked a guy that worked out at Hopi, well, how many eons within an age? Because we were talking about ages. Right, age of Pisces, age of Aquarius. We're talking about how many eons within an age, and he had it calculated or estimated at 2,152. I think that was the number. But have I deluded myself into believing that this is what rules me? So that's my question to the doctor. I believe her name is Dr. Maika. I don't want to get your name wrong. I don't want to mispronounce it. So that was my question. Does it really apply to us when we all come from cultures where a 12-month solar year didn't really apply to us, given who we are and where we come from and the types of people that we come from?
Well,
so
Dr. Maika.
Okay, well, let me answer the question, please. You kind of got it confused as it relates to zodiac and the Gregorian calendar and the lunar calendar. The lunar calendar is 13 months. That's 4 weeks in each month. Each week is 7 days. So the month is 28 days, and that's 13 months make up the lunar year. and it is used throughout the world still, but not here in America. Basically, we deal with the Gregorian calendar. The Gregorian calendar is a masculine-based calendar, and it is the foundation of the problem that women have, because women have accepted everything masculine and have rejected everything feminine. And that's the basis of the problem and the disempowerment of women. There's a quote that says, and it's true, he who controls your time controls your mind. And so the Gregorian calendar is the calendar that controls the mind of the feminine on the planet, especially here in America. And you can't calculate anything righteously as far as a pattern to receive, to see patterns by a Gregorian calendar, because you have a ruler that is uneven. You have some months that are 28 days, some months that are 31 days, some months that are 30 days. So that's called an uneven ruler. If you want to measure something, you want something that's exact. If you go back to the lunar calendar, it's exact. 4 weeks to a month, 7 days to a week, 13 months to a year. It's exact. So that's the time frame in which you do measurements so that you can study yourself. You can study yourself and the patterns that you go through using a lunar calendar. So that's the basis of the disempowerment for women, and I'll be talking about that more on Wednesday, so please join me. I hope I answered your question. The zodiac is a whole other discussion.
Yeah, okay. All right, Craig, was that sufficient for you? We're at the end of the show, so I hope you'll tune in on Wednesday to hear more from Dr. Maika.
Yes, it was. I don't know if you can hear me. Yep.
Yeah, I can hear you. Uh-huh.
Okay, yeah, yeah. You know, part of empowerment for me is getting back to that 13-month lunar year. This means me being ruled by the clan mothers. See? I'm fighting to get back to that, the matriarch, because that's who we need right now as indigenous people, because they're going to heal the nation.
So, right, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Thank you for calling in, and we hope you'll be in on Wednesday as well. Well, tomorrow, Zelda's show is Monday Morning Mindfulness, and join us tomorrow. I haven't seen anything from Zelda this evening, so I'm not sure what her title is, but it's always good. Zelda starts us out with some breathing exercises first thing Monday morning, and that's always good. So thank you all for being here tonight. We've got to go now. It's the end of the show. Sorry who tuned in late, but we're going to say goodnight. We're over time. And join us tomorrow on Monday night. And love to hear from all of the people who are out there. Everybody have a weekend.
We've come to the end of our show today. But you can hear every show in the archive at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, xie
xie.
Zanyaba.
Zanyaba.
Japan. Arigato.
Arigato.
Korea. Kamsahamnida.
Kamsahamnida.
Russia. Spasiba.
Spasiba.
Germany. Danke.
Danke.
Poland. Jeong Kujung.
Jeong Kujung.
France. Merci.
Merci beaucoup.
Spain. Gracias.
Gracias.
Italy. Grazie.
Grazie.
Egypt. Shukran.
Shukran.
Ghana. Medasi.
Medasi.
Nigeria.
Eshe.
Eshe.
Africa. Nyabonga.
Nyabonga.
Senegal. Geret.
Geret.
Kenya. Asante.
Asante.
Israel. Toda.
Toda.
Pakistan. Shukriya.
Shukriya.
Afghanistan. Tashakur.
Tashakur.
Saudi Arabia. Shukran.
Shukran.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.